Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A great joy awaits those who, through the new birth, begin their own race on the track of the Christian life. After the finish line of this life lies an eternal future. Today, why the new birth is a miracle only God can perform. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Today, Pastor Lutzer is in John chapter 3, talking about the miracle we need, the new birth, a work of God and God alone.
We are born not only the work of God, it is also the will of God, the will of God. Now I'm going to tease you a little bit and stretch your theological horizons, and some of you may feel uncomfortable about what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it. I always say, you know, that if you disagree with me, that's fine. You can come up later and apologize for having done that. I need to ask you a question. Did you choose to be born physically? Was that your choice? Did your parents say, well, now, you know, really, we can't bring this child into the world unless we ask him first? No, that choice was made for you by your mom and dad. Did you choose to be born again, or could it be that it was the Father who chose to beget you? Say, oh, Pastor, there you go again. You're stretching it. Well, your Bibles are open, aren't they? I hope you always bring them because it's so important that you make sure that what I say is biblical. Look at chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. This is what it says in verse 12, a very famous verse. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. But look at verse 13. Who were born. You see, when they received him, they were born again, not of blood. Had nothing to do with your lineage. That's why some of you are Christians even though your parents weren't. And some of you have Christian parents and you're not Christians. It's not of blood. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian because my grandfather was a Methodist circuit rider. No, that doesn't work. You were born not of blood nor of the will of the flesh. This was not a decision made for you by some human beings, nor of the will of man, but of God. John closes off all opportunities to think that somehow this was our idea. It was the will of God. And James agrees. James says, by his own will begat he us through the word of truth. By his own will he begat us. You say, oh, well, if you're going to say that, hey, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, not quite. Because even though it is the Father who does the choosing, always remember that now that we are physically alive, he does work through the human will to get us to agree with his choice. And that's why in this text that I read to you from John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, there's such a beautiful balance. Looked at from our standpoint, as many as received him, to them he gives the authority to become the children of God. The human side is to receive him, and as many as receive him, to those he gives that authority. But from the divine side, they are receiving him because God is working in their wills so that they are begotten by God. They are begotten by God. And God, therefore, works through the human will so that anyone who wants to receive Christ may do so. And on the other hand, no one ever is forced to against his will. Part of the work of God is to get our wills in agreement with his purposes. And that's why it's so important for you to listen to the word of God as it is preached. It is important for you to read the word of God because the word of God will then be used by God to bring your will in line with his purposes. My wife and I have a friend who grew up in what used to be called the Soviet Union, grew up as an atheist. I have been sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with this woman, and when I stopped into her shop a couple of weeks ago, I noticed that she is now reading her New Testament. She's reading her New Testament. And that is wonderful. I have a hunch that one of these days her will is going to be lined up with God's, and there's going to be a miracle that is going to happen in her heart as the Word of God and the Spirit of God combine to produce the miracle of God. Would you believe that the new birth, always remember, I'm not asking you would you believe, I'm assuming that you believe, that the new birth, first of all, is the work of God. Secondly, it is the will of God. And thirdly, it is always done the way of God. It's done in God's way. What do I mean? Did you know that the new birth is something direct and immediate that God does in the human heart? It is not mediated by sacraments. It is not mediated by some person who claims to represent God. It is something that God does in the heart directly. Did you know that this work is instantaneous? During medieval times, they used to teach that conversion was a process that you went through, and you had to attend church, and you had to do this, and you had to do that, and you had to do that, and always, and you were never sure because you were being converted, and it looked as if it was an impossible process because it never ended. The Bible says that when you receive Christ, you pass from death unto life. And just as I mentioned that God who caused the light to shine out of darkness shines in the human heart. And when it shines, it is an instantaneous experience. It happens at a point in time. It is never repeated. You never have to be born again and again and again and again. And that, incidentally, is the topic of next week's message. And then 2 weeks from today, very important, namely, how do you deal with doubts and how do you know for sure that you have been born again? Please be here for that one. But nevertheless, what the text is trying to tell us here is that just as a child is born in a moment of time, so a person is born into God's family at a point of time. You actually cross a timeline. At this point, you were not born again. At this point, you are, and your relationship with God is eternally settled. You say, well, what happens after a person is born again? And they just go back and live the way they lived? Well, what happens when a baby is born? Now, you know, when a little baby is born, those little precious bundles, you look at them and you count their fingers. All new fathers count their fingers and their toes. And in most instances, they come up with 10 of each. But have you ever noticed the fingernail? I mean, it may be like a pin prick of a new baby, but it's there. And some little children, when they are born, may not have eyebrows, but you can see where those little eyebrows are going to grow. The baby is complete, absolutely complete. What it needs now is growth. And that's the way you are when you are born into God's family. You are born complete. The Bible says in Colossians 2, we are complete in Him. But then you begin to grow. And as you begin to absorb the milk of the Word, and as you begin to fellowship with other believers, suddenly you discover that the life of God, which has been created in you, begins to have more control over you, and you begin to grow. That does not mean that you become perfect all of a sudden. It may be possible, and certainly it is true, that there are those who are Christians, born again of the Spirit, who still struggle with alcoholism or sin of various kinds, who still fail. But there is now within them the life of God. The switch has been turned on. The switch has been turned on. God has done a miracle. And Jesus said that without this miracle, don't even plan on seeing the kingdom of God, because you will not see the kingdom of God. Because unless you are born a second time into God's family, you are not then a member of that heavenly throng. And that's why Christ said you must be born again. I think Nicodemus became born again. Pastor Wiersbe has an outline that he preaches on this text. It goes like this. He says that in the third chapter of John, he says Nicodemus was in the midnight of confusion. because he didn't know the things that he should have known, just like some of you should know that you have to be born again, and yet you're hearing this for the first time. But he was in the midnight of confusion. In John 7, the passage of Scripture that was read earlier, where he stands up for Jesus in the Sanhedrin and defends him, that is the twilight of conviction. He's now beginning to believe that this was a prophet come from God indeed, and that he had to be born again. That is, that Nicodemus had to be born again. And when he's willing to be identified with Jesus Christ, in the midst of all of this hatred and anger directed towards Christ, Christ dies on the cross. Who is it but helps take his body down and brings 100 pounds of spices to anoint the body of Jesus? But of all things, Nicodemus. No man would have done that unless he had been born of God and had experienced the radical change of the new nature that Jesus had told him about on that very interesting midnight. And you know, that represents the people that are here today and those who are listening by radio, doesn't it? There are some of you who are in the midnight of confusion. You're walking in darkness. May you ask the right questions of the right people who can help you. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you are listening. But that's where you are. You're confused. Even this message may not have made that much sense. And you're there. There are others who are in the twilight of conviction. And you're to the point where you say, yes, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You want to believe and you are on the verge of believing, but you still cannot bring yourself to that last step. Like someone who said to me, I still can't get over the hump that I have to come as I am.
But my friend, as the song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and also for you who are doubting your salvation. The Bible says that we should come to him as we are, and that includes our doubts. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I'm holding in my hands a book entitled, How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God. I need to emphasize, and you've probably heard me say this before, but this is the most important question you could ever ask. And is it possible to actually know? If so, how? On what basis? This book, I think, will clarify many issues regarding salvation. It'll be of benefit to you. It'll also be of benefit to anyone else to whom you give the book if they read it. I believe that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will become clear. For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. Take advantage of this offer. It'll help you in your Christian walk.
Erwin Lutzer explaining more about the miracle we need, the miracle of the new birth Jesus told us about when he met a man named Nicodemus. Next time, concluding teaching about this great miracle. How you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. What can be more important? Pastor Lutzer has written a book by that title, and it can be yours as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how you can be sure. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.